They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's what makes them most remarkable. Now, these sayings, they're not the words of any man. They're not the words of a politician. They're not the words of Mr. Blair or Mr. Bush. They're not the words of any particular film star or pop star, but they are the most amazing, remarkable words of none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. Now, we're going to read the first one in John chapter 3 and verse 35. In John chapter 6, rather, and verse 35. John 6 and 35 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life." That's the first one. Now, the second amazing statement is in John chapter 8 and in verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world." The third statement is in the 10th chapter of John. John chapter 10 and verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep." That's the third one. And the fourth one is in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." May God bless to us the reading of these remarkable words of the Savior himself. As I was traveling along in the car some time ago, I turned on the radio, and it gets lonely sometimes in the car if you're going a long distance, and if you get tired of your own company, well, you can turn on the radio and hear what somebody else has got to say. And there was a program, and they were contrasting the difference between the affluence of the West here and the poverty and the deprivation of third world countries. They were talking about the fact that here in the West, the supermarkets and the stores are bulging with food, with an overwhelming choice of brands. And they were saying that all this seems somewhat obscene in the light of the poverty of third world countries. But of course, you don't have to go to other countries to find people who are starving and hungry and homeless, because we have them here in our own cities. I go to the city of Edinburgh quite a lot, and there in the main streets you'll find people on mattresses and they're begging for food. In fact, I know a girl, and she ran away from home. She was only 16. She ran away from home and she got into drugs, and she told me herself that she used to sleep in telephone kiosks. So sad, hmm? There is, of course, sufficient supplies to feed everybody in the world. It's the maldistribution that of mankind that causes these immense shortages in other countries. It's the wrong kind of distribution, the avarice and greed of some keeping too much for themselves, and the lack of proper food and nourishment in some of these countries. It's the distribution, the human distribution, that is wrong. This is God's world. God is in charge of his own universe, and there is enough food for everyone in the world if it was distributed properly. The Bible distinctly declares, God has said in his word, that there is springtime and there is harvest, and there is summer and there is winter, and that will not fail as long as the world goes on. It's the fault of men that there's so much wrong in the world. Now, the Lord Jesus makes this statement here in John chapter 6, and quite boldly he says, I am the light of the world. I am, he says, the bread of men, the bread of the world, he says. He says he was the bread. He's not speaking of natural food here. He's speaking about spiritual food. Spiritual food. The Lord Jesus said this on one occasion. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. He said this, a person's life, says, does not consist in the abundance of the things which they possess. Now, these are remarkable statements. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. What he's saying is this, that apart from our bodies, we have a spirit and a soul within us. And that spirit and that soul must be nourished. There is more to us than a mere body and a mere mind. There is a spiritual entity in men and women, placed there by God. And only God can satisfy that spiritual need. I don't know whether I'm speaking to somebody and you feel, yes, that deep within you, there is a spiritual need, a spiritual hunger. I read a newspaper article a short time ago, and there was a reporter, and she was interviewing a lady called a Mrs. Moan, who has a huge business empire in Glasgow, specializing in underwear. And this Mrs. Moan told, the reporter said this, as I interviewed, now this lady, of course, you must have heard of her name, she's featured in the newspapers from time to time. She's a multimillionaireess. She's got a huge house in Newton Mearns. She says, I have a lovely husband and a lovely family. And the reporter said that she sensed, as she spoke to Mrs. Moan, she sensed that there was something very sad about her. Something she couldn't quite put her finger on. And then, as the interview went on, Mrs. Moan said, she said, there's something within me, she says. In fact, I thought I had it at the back of my Bible. She says, after meeting her, I suspect, she says, that there is something missing in Michelle Moan's life. She won't name it, and I can't put a finger on it, but there's an aching, empty space in the almost perfect world of Ms. Malone. And later on, Ms. Malone said, she said, we have a big modern five-bedroom house in Newton Mearns. I go to a lot of parties. I have friends. Offers to host a TV chat show. I go on shopping sprees to Paris. But something's missing. I'm not as happy as I thought I would be. A missing dimension. Everything that this world can offer. Bread and the luxuries of life. But there's something deep within me, she says, that's missing. And the Lord Jesus is saying to that woman, as he's saying to you and me tonight, I exclusively am the bread of life. Says the Lord Jesus, I can fill that aching void that's in your heart and in your life. And only I can fill it, he says. Only I can fill it. I wonder tonight if you're seeking some kind of satisfaction that you've never found. I wonder if you're hungering and thirsting, my dear friend, after something. You've never found it. You've never found it. It's to be found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the missing dimension in the hearts and lives of millions of men and women both in this country and in every other land abroad. Maybe you're trying to fill your life with 1,001 things. There are people like that Michelle Moon, who has gone into business and who has amassed a fortune. But it hasn't. It's not satisfying. It's not giving any fulfillment. There's still an aching void in your life, as there is in hers and in many another. There are people who turn to drugs. There are others who turn to drink. There's others who turn to illicit sex. And they fill their hearts and their life with 1,001 things. And when they go to bed at night, there's something that they know they don't have, and they don't know what it is. And when they waken up in the morning, there's this aching void that they don't have. They don't know what they're going to do about it. But tonight, we've come to tell you that there is an answer. There is an answer. And it's not to be found in anything that this world can give. It comes from another world. It comes from heaven. It comes from the Savior of the world, the Savior of men, that died on Calvary's cross, that you and I might be saved, might be born again, that you and I might find the missing elusive thing that some people live their whole lives and die and never find it. But it can be found tonight in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Augustine who said in his day a remarkable statement. He said this, listen to it. He said, there is a gap in the heart of man that's God-shaped, and only God can fill it. Only God can fill it. And our nation has turned away from God. Now, young people know nothing about God or Christ or salvation or the Bible. There are those tonight, and they're looking for this elusive feature in their lives. And some are turning to the tarot cards. Oh, yes. Some are dabbling in the occult, even in New Cumnock tonight. There are those who are playing with the Ouija board to find out this missing dimension, because they know they have a spiritual nature that the things of this world can't fill, and they're turning to another world to find it. And they still can't find it. And they still can't find it. They still can't find it. There are many who are turning tonight to Eastern religions to try to find out this missing dimension. The bread, the spiritual bread that they can't find in the natural, physical world. They're looking to Eastern religions. And Prince Charles has gone on record as saying that he's the defender of the faiths. My dear friend, tonight the Bible says that there is one God, there is one faith, there is one baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is only one faith, and that is faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the only person who can bring us what we so desperately need that we can't find anywhere else. Have you found the Savior tonight? Has He found you? Would you like to find what it is that you can't find in the broken systems of this world? That every time you stoop to drink, as the old hymn says, they mock you. They mock you. Yes, it happens day after day after day. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I exclusively am the bread of life. And whatever your need is tonight, my dear friends, you may be in need of health. That's a terrible need. When your health fails, that must be terrible.
Maybe you're in need of a job, and it's not funny to be out of work. I've been out of work. I know what it is to need a job. Maybe your marriage has failed. Maybe your partner has left you. Maybe you're in need of love and solace and care. And that must be terrible to be in that situation. But your greatest need, my dear friends, tonight is the need to get your sins forgiven. Your greatest need is the need of a Savior that can come in to your heart and into your life and transform you and make you a new person. Is there someone here tonight, and you in your quiet moments, you feel there must be something other than this? There must be something better than this. There is. There is, yes. And it's to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will come simply and confess your own personal need and your own sin, the Lord Jesus can come into your heart and come into your life and save you. The second amazing statement of the Lord Jesus is, I am, he says, the light of the world. The light of the world. He that follows me, says the Savior, the man or the woman or the young person that will follow me. Now, what are you following? What are you following? Everybody follows something. Everybody's got their hero. It may be a football star. It may be a pop star. It may be some politician. It may be some party, some football team. It may be some cherished ambition. Everybody's got something that they're after. Every single one of us. Oh, yes. That's how we're made. Everybody instinctively knows that there's something or someone greater than them that they look to for leadership and guidance and help. The Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The person that follows me, he says, will never walk in darkness. You feel you're in the dark tonight. This is a dark and a dirty world. Morally. Did we ever think, many of us, did we ever think that we would see the things happening, that are happening today? Our poor world. We're sinking. We're sinking fast. We're sinking in moral corruption and moral filth. And there seems to be nobody giving a lead. We're living in a world where leaders can no longer lead. Whether it's political leaders or spiritual leaders. We're living in a world today where the Archbishop, the newly elected Archbishop of Canterbury, says that there's nothing wrong with homosexual clergy. My dear friend, that's a lie from hell tonight. It's a lie from the pit. No converted man would ever speak like that. No one who's following Christ would ever live like that. Yes, we're living in a dark world. We're living in a land tonight, my dear friends, where the average marriage lasts 8.5 years. Where divorces are on the rise. Murders and rapes are increasing. Every day in the newspapers there's horrific stories of paedophiles and stories of incest. Oh, it's a dark, dark world without God and without Christ and without the gospel. Do you feel you're in the dark tonight? Do you feel the darkness is closing in your own personal horizon? Who can you turn to? Who can you look to? Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and his sacrifice on the cross alone can save men and women. Yes, says the Lord, I am the light of the world. Ah, yes. If your partner has left you, then the light of your world has gone out. If your kids are turning to drugs, then the light of your world has gone out.
If you find yourself in an awful pit of despair, you know what it is for the light of your life to have gone out. If you feel you're walking in a tunnel of darkness, then the light has gone. The light has gone, yes. Ah, but there is hope. There is hope for the person who turns to the Saviour. He can bring you light. Only the Saviour, my dear friends, will show you your need. Now, if you don't see your need, then you'll never find help. Unless the alcoholic admits that they're alcoholics, then they just cannot be helped. Unless someone admits that they've got a drugs problem, for example, then they just cannot be helped. Unless a man or a woman or a young person comes and admits the most difficult thing to admit of all, are you listening? Is, I am a sinner. Yes, that's what you and I are. Or we might be wealthy sinners, we might have a lot of money. We might have very little in this world, and we're poor sinners. We might have a mighty intellect that puts us above men and women, but yet that mighty intellect cannot and does not save us. We're intellectual sinners. Oh, you see, sin affects people in different ways. Sin affects the intellect of the atheist who says, there is no God, or the infidel who says, I just don't know if there's any God or not. Sin affects that man intellectually, his intellect. Sin affects other people. It affects their morals and they become immoral. It affects other people and they become rank unbelievers. They turn from the faith and they talk about having lost their faith. They become apostates. Yes. Sin affects everybody differently, but it affects us all in some way. And it makes us sinners. That's the bottom line. And it's the most difficult thing for a person to come and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Oh, if there was any other way, it would be wonderful. But there's not. There's not. Well, what are we going to do? Says the Lord Jesus in the third statement, he says, I am the door. By me, he says, if anyone will enter in, they will be saved. Saved from their sin, saved from the consequences of it. I am the door. Now, a door represents an opportunity. In life, many doors open. Maybe a scholastic door has opened to you and you find yourself able to go to university. That's a door of opportunity. Maybe the door of wedlock has opened to you and you find yourself getting married. That's a door. Maybe the door of business has opened to you and you find a wonderful business opportunity to make money. That's an opportunity. But you know, the greatest opportunity that you can ever have, my dear friends, is here and now. Here, yes, in this gospel hall. Here is the greatest opportunity that a man or a woman could ever have. And what is it? It's the opportunity to get right with God. Yes. The God of heaven loves us. Loves us with an indescribable love. His love is far greater than the love of a man for a woman or a woman for a man. His love is infinitely greater than the love of a parent for a child or for a relative. The love of God. the love that Jesus had for me, says the hymn, to suffer on that cruel tree. And the Saviour had to go to Calvary, my dear man, my dear woman, tonight, to save you and me. Because we're helpless and we're hopeless. And here is the great opportunity, the opportunity of salvation. This is a two-way transaction, says the Lord Jesus. If anybody enters in, that's your responsibility. Now, we're all responsible. We're all responsible. We're living in a day when people abdicate their responsibilities. But that doesn't do away with human responsibility. You commit a crime and you'll find yourself serving the time. You exceed the speed limit and get caught, then you'll get fined. You transgress the law, and the law will come down on you. We have all transgressed the law of God. And we all stand condemned before God. Yes. But there is the opportunity tonight to enter in by the door. The opportunity to come to the Saviour. He's the door that leads to heaven. He's the door that leads to home. He's the door that leads to the Father and to heaven and to untold blessings. So if you enter in, that's your responsibility to enter. But, says the Lord Jesus, if anyone enter in, they come through me, through me. You see, it's not about joining a church. The church cannot save, no matter which church it is, right? There's no salvation in coming to this place or any other place of worship. Absolutely none. Sadly, I can't offer you absolution of sins. No man can forgive sins but God alone. And anyone who claims that they can give absolution of sins, my dear friend, it's a contradiction of the gospel. Only God can forgive your sin. If anyone comes, enters in, he says the Saviour, by me. The Lord Jesus has opened the door to heaven. If he hadn't opened the door to heaven by his death, it would be closed tonight. There wouldn't be a single solitary soul converted in the whole wide world. If Jesus Christ had not opened the door at Calvary by his death and the shedding of his blood. I am the door. That's what he is. He says, if you enter, you can be saved. That's what he does. That's what he does. He can only do what he does because of who he is. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. He wants to save. He wants to save you and me tonight. And only he can do it, and he wants to do it. You see, God is not against men and women. Some people think that God is some hard-hearted schoolmaster with a huge rod. And he wants to hit people. And he wants to damn people and send people to hell. That's not the God of the Bible. Oh yes, there will be judgment in a day to come. If we refuse. But God is for men and women. God is on our side. He would never have sent his son to Calvary if he wasn't on the side of men and women. Of course he wouldn't. Yes. Think what God has done for you. What nobody else could do or would do. Now here's what will happen. Says the Lord Jesus, I am the door. By me, through my work at Calvary, if anybody enters in, they will be saved. Now, here is a spiritual transaction. Now, we all know what an ordinary transaction is. Going into a shop, pay your money, you'll get the goods. That's a business transaction. Here's a spiritual transaction. And says Jesus, it's between me and you. Only the Lord. Forget everybody else tonight, my dear friends. Forget your husband, forget your wife, forget your partner, your lover, your friend, your mate. It's only the Lord. It's not only a spiritual transaction, but it's a spiritual transformation. He says, I am the door. If anybody enters in by me, they will be saved. God wants to change you. Do you want to be changed? Have you come to an end of yourself where you feel, I've got, something must be done. I've got to have this salvation. I've got to get this redemption. I've got to get right with God. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform you. Yes. He'll make you a new person. He'll make you a new person. Now, a lot of philosophies in the world claim that they'll make people new. Yeah. A lot of psychologists have said, do this by means of positive thinking, by means of exercising the mind and perhaps the body, we'll make you a new person. That's what they say. But it doesn't work. You know, people talk today about out-of-the-body experiences, don't they? You've read that in magazines and books, haven't you? I had an out-of-body experience, they claim. Well, of course, it's absolute nonsense. Because if once the spirit leaves the body, the spirit will never come back into the body. It's merely a dream they're having, despite what they say they believe happens. Now, there's only one out-of-the-body experience, and that's conversion. Because conversion is a spiritual experience. A spiritual experience. That's more than the body. One day the body will be changed and saved. But salvation has to do primarily with the spirit and the soul. Your soul needs saved. You, the real you in that body, needs transformed. It's a transformation. Only Christ can transform us and make us new. You'll think differently if you come to Christ tonight. You'll think differently. Mm-hmm. You'll have a totally different outlook on life. Nothing will be the same again. Mm-hmm. He'll transform you. He'll transform your life. He'll transform your work, your career. Everything will be different because you'll be different. You'll be a new creature in Christ. In Christ. Conversion is a spiritual transaction. It's a spiritual transformation. Ultimately, it will result in a spiritual location because you'll be fit for heaven. But it must start now. It must start now. The Bible says that godliness is profitable for the life that now is, as well as the life to come. You need new life. You need new life in Christ. Ah, yes, if the light of the gospel shines on you today, you'll see yourself differently. Yeah. Says the Lord Jesus, lastly, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. Gives his life for the sheep. Christ died for his own. You know, these bombers that took down the plane on September the 11th, these men thought they were laying down their life for their God. That's totally the opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, the man who was God, he lays his life down for us. We can do nothing for him to get our salvation. We can do nothing. He wants to do something for you and me tonight. He says, I am the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. He died that you and I might live eternally. Yes, the death of Christ. The shepherd A shepherd, you know, on a farm, guides and directs his sheep. Is not that what you need tonight? Do you not need guidance? Spiritual guidance? Is this not what you need tonight? Spiritual direction? Spiritual, that you're going the wrong way? You're going the wrong way? Naturally speaking, we're going away from God. We're not getting nearer to God.
The astronauts, the first Russian astronauts that went up in the first plane to, as they tried to get to the moon, they said, "We didn't find God there." Because God, my dear friends, has to be found at Calvary. At Calvary. You can find him at the cross tonight. The cross of Christ. The cross is a crossroads. You'll either accept him or you will reject him. Yes, I want to direct you tonight to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he only can give you the direction that you need. In every single statement, he says, in John chapter 6, verse 35, he said, "He that comes to me, he that believes." Now, as our meeting closes tonight, I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to believe. I want you to come just as you are, not any physical movement. But come in your heart tonight. Come in your spirit. Come as a poor, guilty sinner. I want you to believe. Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He says in John 8, "Those that follow me, will you follow tonight? Will you come and be a disciple, a follower of the Savior?" He says in John 10, "Enter the door. Come in and be saved." If you're here tonight, my dear friends, this is God's message for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe now. Believe as we close our meeting. And you will be saved. He'll never turn you away. There's nobody too bad. There's none too good. There's nobody can make it on their own. There's nobody in heaven will ever say, "I did it my way." They come the way of the cross. The way of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've heard the voice of the Lord tonight speaking to you. Number 269. We'll sing a verse of this and it.